Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, we receive illumination tonight. Cause us to see those things that are hidden in between the lines. In the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. I'll be talking about the grace of persistence, and I'll be talking about the power of determination. They are synonymous words, but we're using it in a different way. Determination means ability to hang tough. We want to see how God used those words to build some supernatural features into our lives so that we can have good success as the Lord has promised. I now begin to realize the reason why God said in his word that we cannot have good success outside of his word. You know, how much we are willing to allow God to embark on this project of reconstruction of our mind as we learn to cooperate with him will determine how much success we will become in God. And I believe you know that God is not talking about you just being successful, but God talks about you having good success. Say, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good sources. Amen and amen. Let me quickly remind you that at the beginning of this series, we were talking about the fact that we are called to live an impossible life. And the standard of God is high, is beyond what our human wit, vocational training can supply. We say Christ in us is the hope of the glory of God. Glory to God. And I also like to remind you of the fact that you may have every other thing in place. If your life lacks the grace of God, there is no way you can succeed in God. You may have a great dream. You may have a great vision. You may have a great desire to do the will of God. If those things are not matched with the grace of determination, you are not going to see those things come to reality. So people do not fail just because they do not have a vision. People do not fail because they do not have a dream. People do not fail because they don't have a strong desire to serve God or to do the will of God. They fail because their vision is not matched with the power of determination. Praise the name of the Lord. As I say that, I would just like to go on with some of the words that God put in my heart. Amen and amen. There is need for you to develop an unbreakable mentality if you truly desire to achieve your life goal. Would you like to say that after me? There is need for me to develop an unbreakable mentality if I truly desire to achieve my life goal. There is need for me to develop an unbreakable mentality if I truly desire to achieve my life goal. There is need for me to develop an unbreakable mentality if I truly desire to achieve my life goal. And that's a strong word for us tonight. The reason for our failure most of the time is because of our inaccurate mentality. And I believe that we are living in a time where God begins to set things right in our mind. God is pressing the mental reset button. God wants to begin to reset some things in our mind. The more you are willing to yield yourself to God and allow God to do his work, you understand, the more easier it becomes for you to walk in God's will for your life. Because something has to be put into you before you can begin to execute it on the outside. The Bible says, it said, not like the covenant that I entered into with your father. He said, but a new covenant I will make with them on that day. I will take my word. I will put. Glory to God. Come on, say, take and put. Come on, say, take and put. You see, we want success, but we don't want God to put the major ingredient of success into our life. We want to be successful on the outside, when we are failure on the inside. He said, I'm going to extract all of those poisons of failure, those, you know, those things that are causing the vicious cycle of failure in our life, those things that are causing us to stumble, those things that are causing us to be weak and to be weary when we are faced with challenges of life. God said, I'm going to remove all of those. He said, a new covenant I will make with them on that day. I will take my word and I will put it in their heart. He said, and none of them shall be taught to love the Lord. He said, but from the least to the greatest, all of them. Hallelujah. In other words, God said, I'm going to put that thing inside of you. Not like in the days of old, where the words are written on the table of stones and people will have to go and read, but the thing is not in them. And because the thing was not in them, so they were so weak, they could not fulfill the righteousness of the law, because the thing was not part of them. It's uncharacteristic of them. In other words, God is now saying simply that I make these words to be characteristic of you. I use the word of God to mold your life. So when it becomes your second nature, that is what you are just doing. Can you just imagine you doing things that are characteristic of you? You are going to do a lot of exercise, a lot of practices, a lot of things, you know. But before you can adjust and begin to do some of those things, for imagine, you know, it's more easier for you to walk on your legs. You understand? To walk on your feet. You understand? When you come to this place, you are walking, you are jogging, you are running. I don't say than for you to walk with your hands down. You understand? And your legs up. Which one is more easier? You are going to struggle to do that. You may be able to achieve some things, you know. That's why some people stand out, because they can do things that others cannot do. I was watching a guy sometimes ago. He took his leg like this. He put it on his neck. He took another leg. He put it on his neck like this. And he was still dancing. I said, oh. And he must have been through a lot of training. As if there is no bone in that leg again. You understand? He put it, he remove it again. Then he like this, he can throw his leg anywhere, throw hand anywhere, and he can still begin. But this is an unusual phenomenon. Praise the name of the Lord. But you see, it's more easier for us. God said, I don't want to make things difficult for you. I want to make it to become more easier for you. That's why I said, I've not come to abolish the law. That's why we got to embrace the power of the New Testament, the grace that God has offered us in the New Testament with warmth. We've got to learn to embrace it with all of our heart, because this is a good thing. This is the greatest good that God can do to the lost humanity who have been retrieved back from slavery to self. Glory to God. He said, why? He said, there's nothing wrong with the law. He said, but because of the weakness of man. So the law, there's nothing wrong with the law. But the man who will fulfill the law is a weak man. You know, that was what is called to do is uncharacteristic of him. That's what we call weakness. Something that is uncharacteristic of you are weak in that area. Glory to God. I remember in those days there was this guy on our street then. You understand? Very hefty guy. He looks so, you know, and he has the body, he has everything. You understand? And when it comes to communicating in English language, if you want to catch him, because he used to be arrogant, he moved the belly, begin to interact with him in English language. I said, oh brother, how is this? Does it mean that I cannot eat? The power to eat is there. The power to tell lies is there. The power to crack joke is there. But come and communicate in English. So we have the power to do every other thing, but one thing we cannot do is the will of God. He said, let the weak say, I am strong. It's not that we are strong in ourselves. It's not that we are strong on our own. He said, but our sufficiency is of God, understand, who has made us a competent minister of the New Testament. Glory to God. We are depending on the competence, the ability that God gives. He said, who's equal to such a task? There's none. But now Paul rejoices to say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. When it comes to the will of God, we just have to come to acknowledge the fact that we don't have it. And God have come to give grace to the humble. Glory to God. He said, those that have no might, God increase strength. He give power to the faint. We've got to come to acknowledge that we have power. You see, we are deceived by, you know, by our natural abilities. We are deceived by things we were able to do by ourselves and in ourselves. And we now feel we can also do the will of God like that. We use those things to rate ourselves, then we begin to feel we don't need the grace of God in our life. And that's why you're going to see people play down the word of God. They undermine the place of the word of God. They don't see the word of God. Somebody serious, they believe that, you know, achieving life goals is something that is easily attainable without having giving adequate attention to the truth of God's word, and allow God to do this constructive work in your life. God got to undo some things. Why? Because you're going to begin to see the vanity and the weakness of those natural abilities of yours. It's then that you can begin to receive by grace, you understand, the hand of fellowship and the love and generosity that God is extending towards you. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I cannot succeed on my own. I cannot succeed by myself. I need the help of God. My life depends on Him. So I can do every other thing. One thing I cannot do is the will of God. So I don't care what you can do in your life. I don't care you can end up becoming the president of a country. I don't care you can go and, you know, make some discovery, make some technological discovery, some scientific discovery, and you are being celebrated all over the world and all of those things. But there's something you cannot do by yourself except God help you. So God wants to remove those weaknesses in our life. That's why we can stand our ground today and confidently say, let the weak say, I am strong. Because of what? The Lord has done for us. Hallelujah. What has He done for us? It's the Emmanuel, the Lord with us. Glory to God. Because He comes to share His life with us. So we can say we are strong today because we are partaker of the life of God. We are sharer of the life of God. So when others get to the end of themselves, we've just started. Even when it seems the devil pushed us beyond our natural limit, you know, we've pushed to a point whereby we begin to hit the tape. We've just started. We've just begun. He said, let not my enemy despise me. If I fall down several times, I will do what? It takes the power of determination to pick your life together again. I said, no, until I attain the height that God has set for me. No one has limited you. You are the one who have limited yourself. And when you have a wrong attitude towards God, you are limiting the Holy One of Israel. If you have a wrong attitude towards the Word of God, you are limiting the Holy One of Israel. Why? Because you will not be exposed to the reality of how far God can take you and where God is really taking you to exhibit the reality of His glory. Don't shackle the flow of God's power and grace in and through your life. That's why it takes humility to walk with God. It takes openness of heart. It takes sincerity of heart. Hallelujah. So I can do all things that God had commanded me because God has made grace available for all that He has commanded me to do. Amen and amen. Just so that the righteous demand of the law might be fulfilled to those who believe, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen and amen. The ability to do the will of God is something we tap into in the Spirit. And that's what God is putting in our heart. God is taking and God is putting His life. He's putting. That's what He has to give to us. That is His body. That is His flesh. That is His blood. We are partaker of it. We are sharer of it. We are drinking it. We are eating it. Glory to God. It's part of our life. That's God in us. His word in our life. So there's need for you to develop an unbreakable mentality if you truly desire to achieve your life goals. How many of you truly desire to achieve your life goal? The goal that God has set before you. The Bible says, you know, in Hebrews chapter 12, let us therefore run with determination the race that God has set before us. Hallelujah. Come on, let's highlight that scripture. Glory to God. Let us run with determination the race. Listen to me. This is so important. It's so important. When the word mixed with faith in your heart, you are not struggling. God has not called us to a life of struggle. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You need to make some adjustment and you get used to it, it becomes part of your life. As you are in it, you begin to come to the realization that, oh, that thing has been there. How many of you know that there are so many things inside of you that have been there all along and is yet to be discovered and is yet to be tapped? You've got to make discovery of this. You've got to begin to deploy all of these things for the advancement of the kingdom of God and His purposes in your life. Amen and amen. You know, the instincts that we have in Christ Jesus, the abilities we have in Christ Jesus, the fresh capacities that God has given unto us in Christ Jesus. Those things got to be developed. It's got to be exercised. We've got to exercise ourselves in those things, you know, and really build confidence, you know, in the reality of His presence in our life. Glory to God. We are not talking about self-confidence. We've lost all our confidence in self, but we are building our confidence on the reality of God's presence in our life. And it takes such an exercise, you understand, making conscious effort to discover those things and begin to walk in the reality of it before you build confidence in it. How many of you know, as an adult today, you stand up on your feet, you are afraid whether you are going to fall down when you stand up and walk. You walked over the years. So naturally, you just feel like when it's time to go home now, you just pick your Bible. You just, does it ever cross your mind that as I want to stand up now, I may follow? My leg may not be balanced, I may fall. When you are not sick. Glory to God. You build that kind of confidence over the year. You don't need faith to do that. You need your faith to build. You understand? And you begin to walk in the reality of those resources that you've gathered over the years. You understand? It becomes part of your life. Glory to God. You do ever wonder and say, come on, let's close our eyes and pray. And when you say, let us pray, you understand? You begin to think in your mind that by the time they say we should open our eyes, my eyes may not be open again. You know? It never crossed your mind. You just feel, you know, it's natural. You just feel, you know, because over the years you build that kind of confidence in you that you don't even think about it. That's the life God wants us to live. That's what we call supernatural living. Praise the name of the Lord. In other words, you are so much used to the superior power that's resident on the inside of you. You so much have great trust in it. And that trust is developed over the years by reason of use. Glory to God. It's developed. You have exercised yourself in it. You still have doubts over some areas, you understand? Because you've not exercised yourself in it. Deploy those things, you know, discover those things and begin to make use of those things. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Therefore, seeing we also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Hebrews chapter 12 now. He said, and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Another translation of that scripture says, let us run with determination. Come on, say determination. In other words, if you start the race and you are going to finish that race, you must be determined. Glory to God. Don't let the devil set a limit onto your life. You understand? You know, there's times we give the devil the chance to set that limit for us. This is how far you can get to. God is the one who draw the line. And the line that God drew was the one that said, well, it terminates at the ultimate end. Praise the name of the Lord. So if God said, I'm going to finish, then I'm going to finish. I'm not going to sink midway. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to be carried away by the storms of life. I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to fall away. Glory to God. You know, there's something that backs the grace of continuity in you as a believer. And in whatever thing God has committed to your hands, you are going to carry it through. We don't have a quitter's mentality. Glory to God. That man wrote many years back, he said, quitters never win. Glory to God. And winners never quit. The devil wants you to cut it short. You understand? And just, well, I can't go on any longer. That is not in your own dictionary. That is not in your own dictionary that you can't go on any longer. You understand? It's not the time to give in. It's the time to hold on. Hallelujah. He said, hold fast to the profession of your faith to the end. There's something that is sure and certain. They're going to see the reflection of the grace and the glory of God in our lives as we hold on to the end. So what we acquire as we come to the presence of God, things that have been formed in our life by the power of, you know, the words of eternal life, you understand, is this ability to hold on to the end. Glory to God. Can we just imagine the Daniel and, you know, Daniel and his friends, you know? That story is a very strong story that we need to reflect on again and again and again and again. By the time, you know, the king was having a kind of dialogue with them, and he said to them that, well, you guys, are you going to change your mind on this and all of this? He's giving them enough time to be able to change their mind. He said, don't consider. He said, oh, you king, we're not going to consider anything. Say, this is where we're going, and this is how far. They could hold on to the point whereby they were throwing them into the fire, to the last point. I need grace to hold on. Did God manifest or not? If we are going to see the manifestation of God in our generation, we need quality men who have the capacity to hold on to the hand, the profession of our faith. He said, you are the house of God. Hallelujah. and you are that house. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the epitome of God's reality on earth. You are, so you know, you share the semblance of God, and you're a true representation of the Godhead on the planet earth. If you are able to hold on to the profession of your faith to the end, that house you are. Don't be a bad specimen. That's why you got to, you know, you see, embrace the truth of God's word. Embrace the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. So there's need for me to develop an unbreakable mentality. He said, okay, I love this. GNT. He said, let us run with determination. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love this. Determination. The race that lies before us. The race that lies. There's a race that lies before us. Not looking at the race is enough to even scare you off. The devil will do everything possible, you understand, to shout you down and to scare you off the track. If we want to do everything possible to discourage you, to tell you that it's something you cannot do, you've got to first acknowledge the fact that you are not called to run a race you can run by yourself or on your own. God is simply saying that if you are going to succeed in God, you need to have a right attitude of mind. God is calling for attitudinal change. When you talk about the power of determination, you are talking about an attitude. It's something that is internal. He said, and he determined in his mind. It's an he you of the heart. Praise the name of the Lord. It's an attitude. Glory to God. Glory to God. And God is always saying to us that you put on a new attitude. He said, put off the old man and put on the new man that is created in the image and the likeness of his creator. Let this mind be in you as it is in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. A new attitude of mind. A new attitude of mind. He said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit that governs our mind goes a long way. You understand? In determining whether we are going to fail or we are going to succeed. God said, you got to renew this spirit. You got to displace the whole spirit. You got to embrace the new spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, say the force of determination. Come on, say the force of determination. So it's what, there's something that lies ahead of you. It takes the power of determination to take it. You see, it is the pleasure of God to give you the kingdom. But the Bible says, ever since the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence. He said, I'm violent, take it. It has to do with attitude. He's talking about the character of those that will take what belongs to them. It will not give itself unto you. Those guys said, we shall give ourselves continually unto prayer and the ministry of the word. He said to Timothy, he said, take it unto thyself and thy doctrine. He said, then your prophet shall appear unto all men. Glory to God. It takes the power of determination. You've got to learn to take your destiny into your hand. That's what God is simply saying to us. He said, let us run with determination. Determination to succeed. Glory to God. So that's what I call unbreakable mentality. That, you see, there's no way ear can really permeate that thing that, or pass through it. A mentality that is inaccessible to the devil. It can't invade our mind and break our mind. In Acts 21, Paul makes us to realize that he's the hero of the mind. He said to those guys, he said, he refused to be persuaded. He said, I've made up my mind. Determination means ability to make up your mind. You're not just opening up your mind on something you initiate by yourself, on something you just, you know, something that is frivolous, or something that is just natural, or something materialistic. You know, I want to make my money, I'll make my money. It works in those areas too, because the law of the spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. But I'm talking about, you know, as it's related to our destiny. As it's related to God's plan and purpose for our life. Wake up your mind on something. How do you make up your mind? How do you get to the place whereby you now make up your mind? it shows it has to do with it's a function of the mind, and it has to do with your reasoning. It also has to do with you coming to a conclusion. It means you've come to resolve in your mind. So when you talk about making up your mind, you are making up your mind based on what God has said in His word. That's what we call determination. That's why I said conviction is the mother of determination. Then how do we get to that level? We are developing an unbreakable mentality. Glory to God. So there's need for you to develop an unbreakable mentality if you truly desire to achieve your life goal. If you are too soft for the devil to twist and toss to and fro, then you've already set a limit on how far you can go for God. Listen to this. Spineless banana Christians cannot stand the test of time. The threat of the adversary is enough to scare them off the track of destiny. They always end up becoming a bad specimen. Are you a spineless Christian? You know, banana don't have anything on this. I can twist it anyhow. You are not supposed to be twistable. Why is it that we are twistable? There's no bone. You understand? In our faith. You understand? It's all flesh, no bone. So we can twist it anyhow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No structure. It's a life that is not built on the truth of God's word. Not built on the rock. The Bible says, henceforth, be no more children, being tossed to and fro by every wind of sea. You know, children don't ever make up their mind. Glory to God. But let's do a fast one tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. You will not be scared off the track of destiny. You will be untwistable for the enemy. You will no longer be a banana Christian. You are no longer a spineless Christian. You have a strong bone. You see, you want to twist that and say you can't twist it anyhow because there's bone there, strong. Hallelujah. There's inner structure. It's not just saying what he's saying, there's something that led to what he's saying. Glory to God. My bones is what is carrying me now. My bones need my feet, my legs to be straight. I make it to be able to stand. If there's no bone there, I will not be able to stand. Everything will just come down like that. Hallelujah. Then you wonder why a lot of people cannot stand. They don't have bones. They don't have spiritual bones. It's time for us to begin to flex our spiritual muscle to the enemy. Glory to God. Amen and amen. Not the muscle of our flesh. It's not muscular strength we are talking about now. We are talking about divine strength. Come and say divine strength. Not muscular strength. You know, muscular strength is what we call might. And he said, it's not by power, nor by might. Spiritual strength is what will move the devil to the other side. Amen and amen. You know, there's an authority of God that is flowing through your life. Even without you talking most of the time. And most times we have authority, but we don't know how to exercise our authority over the devil. You've not learned to put your feet down. You can't just sit down there, fold your hands there, and think something is going to happen. You've got to move out there and begin to take authority over the devil. There are some things you don't want in your life. You have to begin to declare it. I don't want this. It is not so. This is the direction that my life is going. My life won't go in that direction any longer. Some of us have not had our freedom to that level. And it's a kind of warfare, glory to God, so that the devil, you will live an undisturbed life. Don't let the devil harass you and disturb you. Only God knows the mental prayer we all go through before we fall apart and we can't continue any longer. And everybody now begin to see and mock us. We even mock one another. Say, look at him. Why is he behaving like that? Why? You know, may not know. The mental prayer is mental to you have been subjected to. And see, and when you have this spiritual strength on the inside of you, it sends energy. You understand? To your mentor, to you. Glory to God. It sends energy to your mentor, to you. We cannot pray by the life of God. That's what we call the Zoe of God. That's the way it affects every area of your life. Glory to God. It affects every. That's why a word from the Lord puts strength into you. The word of God is so powerful. Because the word of God is the predetermined counsel of God. And that is what determines all our actions and inactions. That is what decides on the right and the wrong in our life. That is the limit. That is the limit of our life. That's the word of God. He sets the limit. He sets the standard for us. So we build up our mind around that reality of God's word. Amen. And that's what I say, I make up my mind. You know, that's because if you don't understand the concept, you know, because someone can come and say, I've made up my mind, me and you, it is heaven that will go and settle our quarrel. He has also made up his mind. So what has he made up his mind on? Vanities. Futile words. What that can sentence to hell. Something that came from his mind as a result of his feelings. That's not, you see, you can't get the power of determination like that. Somebody's going to break your mind one day. You understand? I've got to change your mind. And it's always good you change towards God's direction. Glory to God. But it's always better that you start living your life by the truth of God's word. Amen and amen. Glory to God. But when I make up my mind on what I know to be the will of God, nobody can stop me. The devil that can stop me is not yet born. The devil that will say I'm not going to make it is not yet born. You see, this is a force that you begin to see in a man. You can read it on the face of the man. So this guy is determined to sow seed. Those who don't want to succeed, you know. You see the way they handle life. The guy wants to try it out. Says what? One of people touch the bottom. he's just looking for a way around that thing. You understand? You can see it in him. I'm not talking about a life, you understand, that is expressing anxiety and worries and all of those things. But you can see the determination. Even when he's tired, he's not tired. Even when he have every reason to rest and to relax, you understand, he's up on his feet again. He's determined to see that thing done. And we need that in our apostolic community. We need it in this apostolic team. Men with the power of determination. So in case God give us an assignment, we are not turning back until we see the righteousness of God established in the land. We will not come back to God to give him evil report and tell him that no, we can't go along any longer. No, we are coming back to say, Lord, this is it. Hallelujah. I remember the story I read many years back, and you know, there's this general in the U.S. Army. You understand? When this battalion were released to fight fight a war, you understand? And while they've crossed the bridge, I learned this general cut off the bridge. He said, now, it's either you come back, you understand, and sweep through, and come to the, or you die there. Don't come back here to come and tell me that it's not possible. Don't you know that is the nature of our commission? Oh man, you do not have any excuse. Don't come back here to come and give me excuse. Don't come back here to come and tell me it cannot be done. Those guys stationed themselves everywhere, and even when they were not receiving support, I was sharing this on Sunday, the Gideon's army, when they were not receiving support from anyone, no encouragement from no one, and everything, they were so dogged, they continue. How many of you know that your doggedness is a threat to the adversary? He had done everything possible to weaken your will to... He said, even God is not helping you. God is not supporting you. See, you, nobody. Come, none of you are just... It doesn't even matter the contradictions of life you are facing. He said, God, what is important is this, that the purpose of God be fulfilled. Glory to God. So we're not looking for a class of people that say, well, oh, pastor, it's not possible. And you know, it cannot be done. I remember many years back, you know, somewhere, you know, we wouldn't have been able to build this place. You know, in those days, you know, we bring everybody together. We say, we're going to construct this church. What are we going to do? Everybody going to contribute, you know. We are about 20 or 25. You can bring one bag of cement. You understand? That's 26 bags. We can do something with it. I say, a lot of people that say, we cannot even afford one bag of cement. It's not possible. We cannot. I've seen people who have said to us, he said, pastor, when the water is coming from that side, the water just becomes like this. We've been here for more than 18 years. Water have not submerged this place. Water is just coming like that. What if you know this tree of this place, you know this is not a place to be, though. You just come there and everything, water will all go. They said, let us go and look for a classroom in one of the dilapidated secondary schools or primary school. But thank God for the words of Jesus. He said, he only said those things to know what is in their heart. He said, but he already knows what we do. One of the shocking things, one of the things that God, you know, shared with me and said to me that time, you'll be surprised that most times when everybody has, you know, that kind of notion that it's not going to be possible, there's no way we can do anything and all of those things, the next week like this, God just begins to provide some things. And before you know it, they just come here next week Sunday, you understand? They say, if it is one bundle of iron sheet, another 2 weeks, another bundle of iron sheet. And some people said, we need a building committee. Somebody must be giving pastor money somewhere so that we can plan for. Glory to God. I smile. Without any building committee, we build this place. If I wait for building committee, we are not going to do anything. But you are not going to tell anybody that you don't need a building committee. Okay, we'll look into it. Glory to God. Glory to God. So as a leader, you understand, you are the one, you need the power of determination. You must know how to do away with people who can discourage you, you understand, because of their level of understanding. And it's, you see, it's something that is allowed. And you know that after a while, you understand, everybody, when they saw that things were going down, you won't know who dropped another bundle of iron sheets. You won't know who is doing this. You won't know who is dropping an offering. You won't know. You know, see, what really provokes them is your step of faith. If nothing is being done, nothing is going to happen. Does it mean God cannot do it? That's why we need character to succeed and not just charisma. Run with determination. Determination is a force of character. It's a dimension of grace. It's the life of God in you. You are not called to do things that are uncharacteristic of you in this new life. In this new life, you are called to do things that are characteristic of this new life. So you are not depending on your old ability, strength, and, you know, personal opinion and intellectual ability to do it. You are called to depend on that new force that is given unto you. So there's a force of life within you. Hallelujah. It's no amount of struggle can make you succeed. We got to depend on this. God at work in our lives. Everywhere you go, if you are part of this apostolic community, listen to me, people should begin to see the force of determination in you. Even the determination to live. I mean, see, life is full of challenges. There are people that are sick for years, you understand, and they are still useful for God. They determined to make themselves useful for God, donning themselves to an asset to the kingdom of God. They continue to live. Even when doctors say, well, you can't live more than 2 years, they continue to live and live and live and live and live. They are determined to live to declare the works of God. It takes determination. It's God that sets the limit for me. It's not the devil. It's not the world. It's not the doctor. My determination is based on the limit that God has set. It's not just something from my mind. It's not just something that I think. It's not just something that I feel. It's a product of revelationary truth. Hallelujah. That's why you must not be contented, you understand, with with the life, you know, of scratching the truth on the surface. You must be ready to dirty your hands. You got to learn to dig deep. Revelation comes by dirtying your hands. Your mind has to be engaged in it. Glory to God. Some are contented with information. What I want is revelation. They just want to have the information, and that information cannot bring this force of determination into their life. It takes revelation. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me quickly run through this. Amen and amen. Let me go again. There's need for you to develop an unbreakable mentality if you truly desire to achieve your life goal. If you are too soft for the devil to twist and toss to and fro, then you've already set a limit on how far you can go for God. Spineless banana Christians cannot stand the threat of the adversary, so they are scared of the destiny track. They'll end up becoming a bad specimen. These are people who are ever learning but never come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 5. They are ever learning. Then you want to know who are those people who are spineless Christians. They are ever learning, but they never come to the knowledge of truth. You know, because of the cultural background and the traditional background and idolatrous background of the Ephesian church, you understand, some of the women there, they are too lazy in the world. You understand? They like something that is superstitious. And so they are too fond of new truths. And a lot of diabolical moves. You understand? You see, so in their eagerness to learn new truths, Paul have to begin to warn them that they should not make themselves vulnerable to deception. Most times in our eagerness to know the truth, we make ourselves vulnerable to deception. That was the kind of world where they were coming from. And these are the necessary precautions that you have to take in your life. It's not just enough for you to be fond of knowing new truth when you are not willing to practice the truth. When you are not willing to do the will of God. That's why I said people who are content with information and they don't have crave for revelation. They are satisfied with scratching the truth on the surface. They are not willing to dirty their hands at the open field in the practice of the word of God. That is where the power of conviction is being developed. And I say conviction is the mother of determination. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You got to learn to reach out for the depths of the truth of God's word. Are you in that scripture? Okay, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You see, they have a form. These are the kind of teachers who are parading themselves as ministers of God that time. You know, you know what it means to have a form. You know all the slangs, all the slogans, all the swagger for the church. Hi, hallelujah, bless you. You know there's a brother who happened. Everybody knows him. I've known that brother as an immoral person. You understand? Just flying from one sister to the other. Understand? And if people want to make mockery of him, even though they were making mockery of him, his language is, bless you. Bless you. Till he penetrates you and begins to say, bless you, brother. Bless you, sister. Bless you, sister. And those who knows him now, when they want to say, bless you, brother. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. They have a form, but they don't have the force. Because if you lack that force, you will not be able to put yourself together. It takes the power of determination to put yourself together and make your life to go in the direction that God wants you to go. Paul said, I beat my body and I put it under. I make my body to do what God wants it to do. How many of you know that your body is not going to give up on you? It will keep placing demand on you. Then it doesn't really matter how many times it places that demand. If you are not determined, you understand, it will break your will. You see? Your will will be weakened. Before you know it, you soften out. Before you know it, you are out. So it takes this force of determination to be able to, you know, exercise control over our flesh, over our life, over our thoughts. You know, a lot of things that we got, because it becomes so troublesome for us to manage, we've neglected it, but it can cause us some trouble in the future. What you don't deal with now can deal with you somewhere, sometime, someday. Glory to God. You know, some thoughts that flies through our mind and everything that has become unmanageable, and we are so careless, we are too weak, we are mentally lazy, we feel it's unimportant. Think about all the unimportant things in your life today. They are the things that can make you to slide off your feet. It can make you to slip off the track. Glory to God. Someone will be able to come up together and say, listen, No. Then tomorrow he's going to show up his face again and say, no. He said, the spirit of grace that bringeth salvation to all men teacheth us to say no. It should be on a consistent basis. Deny all ungodliness. It doesn't matter how many times it comes. Don't ever be tired. You are determined. I said no. Then he will come in the night again when nobody is there and you are the only one sleeping. I said no. Why? You can say no because, you understand, it has become your character. If it's something that is just mechanical, you understand, see, there's a point where you can say no. You understand that when you are left alone, you understand, you can't say no. But what is uncharacteristic of you is uncharacteristic of him. So you are growing in grace. Learn to grow in grace. You are going to discover that you're going to outgrow a lot of things. You're going to learn to put a stop to some things in your life. Glory to God. Every one of us can be all that God wants us to be. See, God has not set a standard that is unattainable for us. Everything God said we can turn our life to, we can become that thing. No matter how impossible it looks and it appears in our own sight, it takes the force of determination. I say, Lord, I may not be there today, but I will be there. I will be there. I know what it says. No. May God give us grace to be able to say no persistently, you understand, to the devil and say yes to God on a continuous and consistent basis. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Is that having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof? From such, turn away. Their lives do not reflect the truth of God's word that they represent or they preach. He said, turn away. Look at this. Verse 6 now, quickly. Of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Glory to God. They creep into houses. How many of you know that? You see, it's very easy to creep into houses now. You can creep into people's living room, you understand, through the radio, through the internet, through the television, through anything. So it's very easy for them to assess you. You say, well, I've got a program and they're not going to get on there. Wherever you are, you may be inside the vehicle one day and their program is going on. You'll be forced to watch it, to hear and to listen to what they creep into houses. That's why you know that what they do more is packaging. They spend a lot of money on image making. They spend a lot of money on visuals. They spend a lot of money on video recording, on packaging and everything. You understand me? You see, and they don't want to throw it here. They want to throw it all over the world. So that the ignorance, the ignoramus, and the innocent people in court will be captured, will be trapped. And those who will be trapped, they are the people who are not ready to walk in the will of God. Because you do not see anything that like the will of God in the life of these people. They only have information, they lack revelation. And the true mark of knowledge is fruitfulness. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. I love one translation said, weak-willed women, laden down with sin. In other words, these are people who are living a sinful life and yet they don't want to repent of their sins. They want to live an unrepentant life and yet they like the things of God. You see, there are a lot of people like that. That's why, you see, you cannot easily cajole me because I've paid my dues. I've paid my price. But you see, those people who like church but they're not ready to stop the evils they are doing in their life. So they want somebody to say, you can continue, you know, I mean, in sin, while the grace of God abound. People can say, we can prophesy about your life, you're going to have money. They don't care the way you live your life. You're already having problem with the way you are living your life. You can't put yourself, you are losing control. Nobody talks about that. But somebody say, no, you can cross that class, you understand, jump the class, you understand, and move to the class of prosperity. And these are the people that are easily, they are easy prey. They are the most vulnerable to these deceivers. He said, be very, very careful. Like, get light. Praise the name of the Lord. This weak woman will listen to anybody who will teach them. Hallelujah. Anybody. As long as you can prophesy, you can tell them their NTN number and the GLOW number. You can tell them the food that they had last week. You can tell them the story of their life and the name of their village and the king of their village. Anybody that's going, they are ready. Why? They don't want to pay the price of consecration. They don't want to pay the price of living a holy and a pure life. You will not need an intermediary. There's only one intermediary between God and man. And that mediator is Jesus Christ. The one who laid down his life and shed his blood for the redemption of all man. And you see, they are living a sinful life, but they don't want to accept the truth of God's word. They don't want to live their life by the truth. He said, your sins are forgiven. You don't need to tell me that. When I do what the word of God says, my sins are forgiven. So I'm not waiting for the next person to tell me, your sins are forgiven, daughter. I will not come to confess to you, so that my sins are forgiven. When I do the necessary thing, you understand, it will be unto me according to the word of God. Who told you I've confessed? Who told you I've repented? When people are not ready to pay the price of consecration, they turn themselves to victims of these commercial prophets. Praise them of the Lord. Praise them of the Lord. He said, teach them. They are forever inquiring and getting information. They're so inquisitive. Different translation of that. There are some smart people. You understand? It's just because of the kind of locality we find ourselves today. You understand? When you get outside of this state, when you get to, you know, a place where you see what they call civilization in quotes, you understand? You are going to see them with different kind of iPad. You are going to see them, not the one that will be so flat, that will be so tiny, pencil-like. You are going to see this kind of sophistication when you are, the way they are typing everything out, the way they are checking it out. They can check it on the internet. They can immediately, they can go good things out, give the definition, give the definition. They have everything. They are making inquiry. They are doing everything, but all they want is information. Not revelation, because revelation brings you to the end of yourself. What opened you up to the revelation of Christ is when you are willing to open up your life to Him. Glory to God. So there comes self-revelation. You won't say you don't know what you need that time. But are never able to arrive at a recognition and knowledge of the truth. That's amplified. But are not able. He said they are not able to come to the knowledge of truth. Come and say, come to the knowledge of truth. Come and say, come to the knowledge of truth. Come and say, come to the knowledge of truth. Now, when you look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, he said, prayer and supplication should be made for kings and men in authority. He said, for God who wants all men saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm seeing a correlation there. Glory to God. Come to the knowledge of truth. So, there's something you've got to step into. They are ever learning. They are making inquiry. They have information. They have the sophistication. They know the last message that was preached in America. They knew what, you know, B. Jones preached before he died. They knew that. They knew everything. But they never come to a place of conviction. They know so many things. You understand? But they are not sure of anything. May your life not be devoid of truth. People know so many things. But they are never sure of one thing. There's no one thing you can say they are living for. There's no one thing you can say they believe. They are convinced of. This conviction are the pillar that holds your life. These are the bones to your spines. These are the things that make you to stand and also to withstand. So it's not enough to get information. They are get information, they are get this picture, get this, but what are the things you are sure of? Conviction are the things you are sure of. That's why I said, you know, they never come to the knowledge. He said, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? The word knowledge of the truth there, you understand, in the Greek means epignosis. Glory to God. The word epignosis means the realization. They never come to a place of realization of the truth. Where you can say, I see. They can never see. Glory to God. That's why I said, they know so many things, but they are never sure of anything. Glory to God. I think someone is saying, well, Pastor, you are describing someone close to my house. I know it can't be you. I'm persuaded of better things concerning you. Hallelujah. They never come to epignosis. Coming to the knowledge of truth. Come to the knowledge of truth. Glory to God. Realization of the truth or stepping into the true experience of God. In other words, they never step into the true experience of God. You step into the true experience of God by exercise, by practice. Their teachers never step into that practice. They know the law, but they never practice the law. They say things that they cannot do. You understand? These are the people they inherited the thing from. And God said, be careful when you are listening to those people. So they have followers like that too. They are building up their own team too, that they are taking to hell. It's not going to be you. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Not a life that will devoid you, you know, that we disengage you from a life of practice of the word of God. Please, any doctrine that says we are going to do it for you, we're going to pray for you, we're going to help you do your study of the word, you are going to make you grow in grace, the spirit of I will do it for you, I will do it for you, I will do it for you, that we want to relieve you, you understand, of the practice of the truth of God's word is not the spirit of the New Testament. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You must know that stepping into the true experience of God is more than physical or mental exercise, but spiritual exercise, engaging your mind in the practice of the word of God. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Oh, Holy Spirit. Glory to God. When you also look at the characteristics of this woman, they are people whose life are governed by various desire, except the desire to do the will of God. They give preference to church affiliation rather than commitment to kingdom truth. Hallelujah. They place more preference on affiliating with a man of God. That's why you're going to see people today. When you see things they do, and before you know it, they just mention the name. Ah. He's cheating someone. Or he's doing something that is even, you never... So they place more preference on affiliation with a man of God or with a church or with a denomination than they place, you understand, on commitment to kingdom truth. So they cannot really figure it out where they are missing it. So their life lack conviction. They cannot say they are convicted of their sin. They cannot say they are convinced of the grace of God or the grace of salvation. Because they are never convinced of their sin in the first place. How would they be convinced that Jesus shed his blood for them as a sinner? They are not a sinner. They don't say they are not convinced of what Christ has done. So how can they be convinced of the reality of the love of God? They don't need it. It's we that we are sinners that we needed the love of God. And God has shown his love to us. We have received it. We are convinced. And we have come to believe in the love of God. Then how will the life of that person be? Glory to God. So they are most vulnerable, you understand, to deception. And you will not be a victim in the mighty name of Jesus. I think God is calling for right attitude. So determination. Determination, therefore, is hanging on the hinges of our conviction. As you allow the word of Christ to overthrow self-love and ambition, lust for self-realization, and so on and so forth in your life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Then you must allow the word of God to mix with faith in your heart, to mix with the love of God in your heart. Glory to God. Men do not fail because they do not know the truth, but because they do not love the truth. Know something about the truth of God's word. It's an angel of God sent to guide you unto freedom and to save you from destruction. Let me say this again. The truth is an angel of God sent to guide you unto freedom and to save you from destruction. So it doesn't really matter how hard that truth is to let it accomplish its mission in your life. You are sent, you understand, to save me from destruction and to guide me unto freedom. And you know, the way to freedom may be difficult. Most times, if you want to free yourself from a place, you have to come out through a very narrow hole somewhere. I say, no, why can't you take me and throw me to death? If that's the only way to freedom and escape, you better take it. Because we are married to our own ways, you know, we are so resistant and we are so recalcitrant to the truth. Every time the truth comes, it's like, you should come with something better proposition. There's something about the truth. So truth is not coming as someone you can easily embrace. It takes discernment for you to embrace the truth of God's word in your life. Praise them of the Lord. Praise them of the Lord. We're talking about how the power of conviction is being developed. is a function of spiritual exercise, not just mental or physical exercise. And when we talk about exercise, we are talking the practice of godliness. I've said before about how you develop confidence in your instinct to walk on your two legs. You understand that you are not even, it doesn't cross your mind that you are going to crumble when you stand up from this place and you are going home. You so much believe that this thing can stand you over the time. The bones and marrow and everything have been developed by use, by the reason of use over the years. And those who don't want to dirty their hands, they cannot have the power of conviction. They just want the truth by information, scratching this truth on the surface. They don't want interaction. They don't want your involvement in their life. They don't want anybody to control them. They don't want anybody to speak into their life. They don't want anybody to say, what you are doing is not good. They don't want anybody to call them to order. We don't want anybody to say, do this. They don't want to say anybody that you are going that way and say, no, come this way. This is where you have to go. Understand? And when people don't want to dirty their hands like that, they will only have information. We are going to see them. They are itinerant member of many churches. They are itinerate from one church to the other. They are not itinerant minister. You understand? But they know them in more than 20 churches. I've gone to do wedding ceremony for somebody before, many years back. You understand? And say, my pastor, meet my pastor. Then I'm the one to do the name ceremony. The father is going to do the prayer. My pastor, meet my pastor. He has itinerary from one place. Scratching, you can't hold him responsible anywhere. He cannot have the power of determination. The courage to succeed in life is questionable. You see, we don't need to be a prophet. From word, from knowledge. Most times, you know, when you know the truth, you just sit down, you're just like this. You don't need to talk. It's not everything that Jesus Christ knew that he said. He knew Judas was a thief, but yet he didn't talk about it. So he didn't say everything that he knew. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. See, men, so that when I define the truth for you now, you know that men do not fail because they do not know the truth, but because they do not love the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. He said, they do not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So the devil do not want them, he want them to be blocked. He want their mind to be blocked. You understand? So they do not receive the knowledge of the truth. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. In John chapter 6, verse 64, I'm just running out of time. John chapter 6, verse 64 to 69, Jesus was talking about, he said, those that will betray me are those that believe not. Glory to God. He said, the hand of those that will betray me, they are with me on this table. They are those that believe. No, people, can you just quickly highlight that for us? Praise the Lord. That believe not. They don't believe in the values of Jesus. They don't believe in the standard of Jesus. They don't believe in all the things that Jesus was teaching them. Glory to God. So if our life is not resting on the truth of God's word, we will lack the force of determination. Our determination will just be natural determination. You know that people who have never been to church before, they are struggling with life. They are so determined and they make it. And you begin to see their testimony on the television. You know, there's this lady somewhere that's living the impossible life, or people that are beyond the limit, and all of those things that they are determined. They don't know God. They are determined. Your home will just be limited to the natural determination to succeed here on that, but has nothing to do with where we are going. If there's a strong contention, when that is involved in succeeding in this natural life, what do you think will happen? What kind, don't you know that there's going to be heavy contention when it comes to succeeding, to appear, succeeding in terms of appearing before the Son of Man on that day? And only those that overcome. Glory to God. Let's be prepared for battle. Mind that is not made up cannot make us. If you are not ready for battle and you don't know the battle has started already, have you watched some wrestling competition before? When some people are still wearing their home garments. You understand? Their fashion starts. And the other one have removed everything. He just eating from the bag like this. Hey! Bang! You are in the ring already. The fight has started. You are still holding the microphone. Say, the man take the microphone, hit it on his head. Throw him somewhere. The fight had begun. Be sober and be vigilant. Praise the name of the Lord. Look at this. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were
that believe not. And who should betray him? Who are the people that will betray him? Who are the people that will deny Christ? Who are the people who cannot stand their ground and stand with him to the end? They are the one who believe not. All these principles of Jesus, the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. All the values of the kingdom, all everything that Jesus was teaching them, there is something that matters more than this. They are the one who will be looking at time for Jesus. You understand? They don't believe. Their mind do not agree with it. That's why I talk about Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2. He said the same word was preached to them, but the word did not mix with the love of God in their heart. If you don't love the truth of God's word, how can you base your determination on that same truth of God's word? And yet there's something that legislates over every decision you make in life. The difference between right and wrong is this same truth of God's word. Which side are you? Are you on the side of God or on the side of your corruption? So people do not love the truth. They lack the power of determination that is required to run the race of destiny to a conclusive level. It doesn't matter how far they have gone. You understand? If we get this truth and begin to brace up our mind, then we are going to make it to the end. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, therefore said I unto them, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, I'm not here to cajole people. I'm not here to coerce people with what. I'm not here to just gather people. He said, if God do not open your heart, he said, you cannot come to my direction. Praise the name of the Lord. But look at these people. They believe not. One time Jesus said, those who are not convinced, they are not sure. So they are ever learning. They hang around Jesus, they hang around Adeboye, hang around Oyedepo, hang around all the great ministers of God in this nation, hang around Thierry Osborne, Jerry Safair. They have books, they have everything, but they know so many things, but they are never sure of one thing. You have some people at times of it's okay. Brother, why the way you are behaving? Like, don't you know hell is real? Have you seen people behaving as if hell is not real? He's looking doing the work of hell, and yet he has books. He is an orator. He is also a preacher. So do have fear of God. You are not convinced that people should. Praise the name of the Lord. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In John chapter 12, verse 4. You remember the same Judas was the first person to protest when that lady broke alabaster box and poured the ointment of Jesus. He said, why not sell this thing? He wasn't convinced of the reality of Christ. When you know who Christ is, you understand? What is he you cannot give to him? That's why whatever you are doing, when you come to assembly like this, you are doing it unto Christ. When you know who that Christ is, we don't need to beg you to do this or to do that. But those who don't say, why not? They begin to query the move of God, question the authority of God, and Jesus says, stop. The way Jesus stopped them, God said, we should go and silence their mouth. He said, because they are talking about things they know nothing about. If they have known God, they will know that the best of your ointment, Jesus, worth a million times better than that. Be careful for those who do not know his words. So when he talks to them, because that's to do with personality. The personality that is behind those words. Let me cap it up here. You know, the way the Holy Ghost gave me the illustration by revelation. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, let me now go now. Determination, therefore, is hanging on the hinges of your conviction. For as you allow the word of Christ to overthrow self-love and ambition, lust for self-realization. So, determination means freedom from all form of mental agitation and regret. It settles every controversy or doubt that may want to arise because you are now responsive to higher authority like a Supreme Court verdict. Thank you, Lord. That was where I caught it. I caught it by inspiration. It settles every day. Can't just, after you are determined to do some things, something begin to come. Determination tells you whatever come out of it, I will stand by it. What is it that settles it? Higher authority. When the higher authority is the deciding factor, then you can begin to talk about determination. So our conviction is based on the authority of the word of God. And there are two invisible realities that makes the word of God. God and his word. And Abraham believed God. So it's very easy to follow his word. Am I talking to someone?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, in Nigeria today, Nigerian context, in the legal, you know, looking at it from legal perspective, the Supreme Court decide and interpret every law. He has the final decision. You understand? If the Supreme Court, I remember I was hearing this, you know, commentary on the Kogi State, this and that. They said, we are waiting for the Supreme Court to give the final verdict. He let them interpret that law. You know, because there are some things that are not so glaring. You understand? That doesn't even show up in the letter of the law. He said, but the Supreme Court can give the final verdict and he turn it to a precedence for others to follow in the nation. Can you just imagine? After Supreme Court have interpreted the law and they have given their verdict on the law as the apex court of this nation, the Supreme Court now say that you are the governor of so-so and so state. Will you have any doubt? Any controversy? Any fear? Will anything agitate your mind? To exercise your authority as the governor of that state because you have been declared at the apex court of the law. The final authority is the word of God. That's why live your life by this truth. Make yourself vulnerable to the truth. You'll be better for it. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So it gives you final interpretation to the law. So your determination is resting on the basis of the Supreme Court verdict. Now, we can stand affirmatively for what is right and against illegality. Glory to God. Come, okay, I can stand affirmatively. I said, we are standing on holy ground. And we know there are angels all around. We go there to begin to proclaim. So what is it that the word of God has said concerning this area of your life? Is that the way God said your life should go? He said, I'm determined that my life will go the direction God wants it to go. I was reading, you know, one of these materials by, you know, this strong woman of God. And he said, most time I sit on the table. You understand? I sit on the table and the food are still plenty on the table. And yet, my stomach cannot contain it. And something say, eat more. Then I quickly say to everybody around, I'm not going to taste anything here again. I'm not going to put anything in my mouth. No heating for you. I'm leaving this place now. Do you need to announce it? He said, but you have to proclaim it. Hallelujah. Because the apex court also make a pronouncement. Your confession is the pronouncement of the apex court. Declare it over your life. Declare it over your family. Declare it over your business. Declare it over your womb. Declare it over your body. Declare it over your academic life. Declare it over your walk with God. Declare it over every area of your life. It has the finances. So I declare it. You make pronouncement. You make declaration. And that is the way it will go. You stand by it. You keep holding it. Say, yes, I've not changed my mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Hebrews chapter 6. I would just like to just support you with the scripture. Glory to God. And that's just the way God gave it to me. Let me support you with the scripture. Hebrews chapter 6. When God has no other thing to swear, he swore by himself. Glory to God. And see, when you make an oath like that, you swear. You understand? It settles every controversy. Not like today. When people come as leader of people, you understand? I begin to lie under oath. That's not. But in the Bible days, in the Jewish culture, when immediately you swear, it settles every controversy. Every doubt is cleared off your mind. Why? Because God has made a promise. And God who made the promise is a God who cannot lie. He has bound it with an oath. So we have a hope. It's a sure hope. God has made a promise. He will never renounce his promise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you in Hebrews chapter 6? Let's go to verse 13. No place for reversion back into the flesh. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Hallelujah. Because he's the apex court. What will the apex court swear to? Glory to God. He said, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Verse 15. Look at this. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained. If you are determined, you will obtain the promise. What is it that bat patience, endurance in him? Patience, endurance means without murmuring and without complaining. Glory to God. Following the will of God joyfully. Glory to God. Your mind resting and settled on the truth of God's word. I can put, see, that's why this is not an ordinary book. Put your hand there by yourself. God said it, not me. Hallelujah. God promised me. This is what God said. You are determined. It doesn't matter what you are saying. Determination goes beyond. It goes beyond what you are saying or what you are hearing. He said, and Abraham was fully persuaded that what the Lord has promised, God is able to perform. Glory to God. He said, he considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb. The apex court have given the final verdict. So he considered the report of God to be superior to the report of the doctor. Hallelujah. He was determined, and determination make his dream to come true. It's not enough to have dream. It's not enough to have vision. It's not enough to say, God, promise me. It's not enough to say this. You understand? Your character will determine how much you can receive from the Lord. God said, come, walk with me. Then we enjoy it together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Come and say, end of all strife. A man who is determined in his mind, there'll be end of all else. No matter, even when you are cooling off, you understand, in jail, understand, you don't have stress on the inside of you. You don't have regret for what you have done. Why? Because God is the one who decides on the steps you take. That's why it's beyond what you follow your brain to do. When it comes to the issue of walking in the purpose of God for your life, that's where I said it's beyond your natural limit. It's beyond your natural ability, rather. Glory to God. Glory to God. How many of us want to suffer for what we have not done? How many of us want to go to jail for speaking the truth? And yet God said we should speak the truth in love. So after you have spoken the truth, you understand? And he said, will you renounce what you have said and change it again? And will you like write another statement? He said, no. So you are enjoying the shaka shaka. Oh yeah, make it more severe. You understand? You may be troubled without, but you will have less stress within. If God is the one who is directing your steps, that is where it is connected to life eternal. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You will live the life of no regret. What for the confirmation to them is an end of all strife. And there will be end to all strife, all controversies in your life, all the mental agitations, all the insinuations, all the speculations. How many of you know there are speculative thoughts? God is above all of those speculative thoughts. Glory to God. Determination. Hallelujah. You will not bow down to another God. You are determined that what God has promised is able to perform. Verse 17. Look at this. Look at this. Verse 17. Glory to God. We are in God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. Confirm it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. For strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. In other words, my Jagunlo, we have a strong consolation. We are not just following our head. We are following our heart. Live from your heart and not from your head. God of all grace will give you grace in the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. What's an anchor for the soul? How many of you have seen an anchor for the sheep? When the sheep get to bay, you understand? You know, he lowers down his anchor. He releases his anchor to the bedrock of the ocean. And when he releases the anchor, the thing holds the thing. Psh! And yet, there may be some swaying here and there, but there's something because the thing has been anchored to the bedrock, not on the surface. You wonder why the thing is not collapsing. That's been anchored somewhere. The storm may be so heavy. Glory to God. The wind may blow heavily. But we have this as an anchor for us. So there are times your mind wants to shake. Then remember the anchor for your soul. It's not here, it's behind the veil. Hallelujah. Where Christ is seated in the heavenly places. Even when it seems things seems not to be working in your own side, that is your own side. Things are already working in God's side. Hallelujah. And that's the call to walk with God. That's what it looks like most of the time. And yet, you understand, when you hide the heights of the spirit, you know, it's because the man, the determination of the man, will make the job to be done. We are winning over all our adversary. The devil cannot wear us out. We are standing strong to the end in the mighty name of Jesus. We are here to do a pioneering work for God. It's an apostolic work, you understand? And the devil cannot make us to shift ground. Listen to me, we are running him out of town. We have what it takes. Glory to God. We have a sure hope. God has made a promise. All that he has promised, he will surely fulfill. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let your grace abound upon our life. Give you praise and glory. Everywhere the word of God will be heard. Give wings to your word, O God. Heal us, those who are discouraged. Those who have been beaten by the storm of life. Let it be a mighty fortress within them. That give them encouragement to stand their ground to the end. And to lay hold upon the hope that is set before them. Lord, we give you all the praise. Let this be the end of every strife, the end of every controversy, the end to every speculations in our mind. That we come to set you down for what God has promised in this word. And the word of God is word beside their limit. And it's not our environment. It is not the government policy. It is not the medical report. It is not my present predicament. It is not my low birth that will determine that. But the new life that I have in Christ Jesus, he has set me up for a great destiny. Thank you, Jesus.